Kid, it was there's this Japanese series called The Water Margin, based on a Chinese legend, and the first pilot episode of that has a beheading in it. First,
well, all right,
school kids were pretty excited about that.
Oh, I bet. And they chopped his head off. Oh. Yeah. Things were so much easier then. You could be thrilled by a simple beheading.
Ah, simple pleasures.
You know, like a child cheering at a beheading. You hear the joy in their voices.
Yes. It's like the good old days of the terror.
Yes.
Yeah, but these days, beheadings, what else you got?
People frown upon.
Yeah.
Just don't get it.
Yeah. Everyone's too woke. That's
too woke, yeah.
That's the reason, right?
Wokies don't want you chopping heads.
Yeah. Should we intro this thing and talk about some movies and TV shows and crimes?
No, let's just jump into it.
All right. You know who we are. You know what we do.
Those guys.
Yeah, we're Chewing the Scenery, horror movie podcast. We're a podcast where three friends get together and talk about a horror movie, which we'll spoil, but first we'll talk about recently watched. Not going to spoil it whatsoever, trust us. We thank the Moonrays for giving us that song, Intro Creature Features, at the top of the show. Find the music on Amazon or Apple Music, where you can buy it digitally, or say hello to them on Facebook, where they are, the Moon-Rays. We're not professional critics, we're your hosts. I'm Richard, I'm here with Will.
Good morning.
And Jolien.
Greetings, my friends.
We are reporting to you live from a crime scene.
Yep.
Yep. Carjacker tried to escape up the alley, which is a dead-end alley. And we ended up with a tweaker carjacker on our patio, which is very enclosed. Mm-hmm. And cops coming over the walls from all directions.
The air still rings with their gentle words.
Yes. You know,
yes.
You don't have to say intercourse to get your point across. But sometimes you do anyway. And I wouldn't want those monsters after me. Did you see the size of those guys? We got video, by the way. Oh, my goodness. And they're huge. They have bulletproof vests and rifles. Just get on the ground. They got you. You ain't getting away. I don't care how skinny and, you know, methed up you are. He was slippery, though. Like, they thought they had him, and then he got out. Then they had him. Then they didn't. So, anyway, that was yesterday. Today, it's sunny out. The snow's melting. It's spring. We're going to talk about some movies. So, what did you watch recently, Jolien?
Your video of the police arrest in your garden. that was pretty exciting.
It was.
I hope he was the guy who stole our car. Anyway, all right, I watched Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Oh, fantastic.
1975, Peter Weir. You've all seen this one, right?
This is Australian, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
More mysterious each time I see it. First time I saw it, it was like you're trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
And then the second time, you're watching what the mystery does to everyone else.
Mm.
And I looked at reviews and like critics at the time, especially in the US, decided it was all about sexual repression and like clap their hands together and we're done with it.
They were just reading into it.
Yeah, it was the 70s, so like Freudian explanations of films were still
everything was psychosexual.
Yeah.
That's why the 70s were the best decade for film.
That's right.
They're full of psychos and sexuals.
Yep.
But I think that that reduces it. It's like, you know, it's a mystery. I love a mystery. My favorite quote is, mystery is only mystery. Anyway, there seems to be a collision of rationality. Like, you've got the British mores.
Mm-hmm.
You've got geometry. You've got studying subjects like French, although you live in the outback of Australia.
Yes.
Just to, you know, just to have this illusion of being sophisticated Europeans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the planet. And then that collides with the unknown. So you've got untamed nature and the ancient universe. And, you know, it's just classic folk horror. It's a great, great movie.
I love that movie.
And then All That Money Can Buy, also known as The Devil and Daniel Webster from 1941, William Dieterle.
I read the book.
Yeah, I saw this a long time ago, and it was like a pretty, you know, garbage print of it.
Yeah.
It was very grey and messy. But yeah, Criterion brought out this restoration. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
The black and white photography in this is just fantastic.
Yeah.
So this is about this struggling New Hampshire farmer who sells his soul to Scratch,
mm-hmm.
who's played by Walter Houston.
Oh, nice.
And he's got a fantastic face. And he gets fame, fortune, and Simone Simon.
Mm-hmm.
Same year she was in Cat People.
Okay.
It's got all these flourishes of Soviet cinema-style editing and odd framing and stylized lighting. Music by Bernard Herrmann.
Wow.
Great. Love it. And we've done with the spring sumo basho.
Oh.
Ended with Takeru Fuji being the first rookie in 110 years to win the championship.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And we finished with Ultraman Rube.
Rube.
Is
he grifting people now?
Yeah. So so now we've started on Ultraman Tiger. I liked in Ultraman Rube, there's a get about 2/3 of the way in, you start to realise that a couple of the main characters might never have existed. Their existence is called into question.
Oh, okay.
Wow. We're going there, are we? It's getting a bit Lynchy.
Wow.
But enjoyed it anyway. So that's it.
Wow.
Been busy apart from that.
Will, you want to go next?
Other than watching crap on YouTube, little history videos and whatnot.
What about?
A missing kingdom in Wales from the Middle Ages. I guess it was a little island that was off the coast.
Oh, that is offshore now, kingdoms, yeah.
Yeah, offshore kingdom that ended up disappearing at some
point.
So
many of those around the British Isles.
Yeah, and just, you know, things sort of Middle Ages, kings that, you know, show up and they're wondering, where did this guy come from? Because mm-hmm. they list him as like king of the other place,
yes.
You know? And they're like, where exactly is this other place? Only movie I watched was something called Bottoms, which sounds filthy. It's about two girls who are high school students. They're both lesbians, but they're both total losers. Everybody's eyes. So they come up with a plan to start a female self-defense class, although they keep calling it a girl fight club. And basically they do this so they can meet the hot girls, because they want to involve the hot girls in there. And it's funny. It's a, you know, raunchy kind of coming of age teen story. I did enjoy that, you know, it was just these outcast girls who were trying to get hot girls, you know, that were way out of their league.
Yeah. I like that.
It gets pretty surreal by the end. You know, it starts off, it's just kind of a comedy, so it's not super realistic, but just keeps getting more and more outlandish as it goes on. So,
is it funny?
It's pretty funny. I don't think it was, you know, the best thing I've seen, but I enjoyed it.
What's it on?
I think it's on Prime.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
If it's not
out last year.
Yeah, if it's not on Prime or Tubi, it will be soon.
Yeah.
You can figure.
I think it was late last year, so. That's about it for me.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the other crime at the, you know, at the beginning of the show. Will and I sneaked into the toy and doll show.
Sneaked or snuck?
I think snuck isn't really a word, although I think as a colloquialism we use it more than sneaked.
I think snuck.
We snuck
better, like we.
It sounds more like a Scooby-Doo tiptoe move, doesn't it? We snuck in.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Will, let's go, man.
Yeah, I know the music they'd use too.
But I also think lit is better than lighted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those cops really lighted up that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we snuck into the Toy and Doll Expo / Vintage Voltage, and it was too crowded, and...
We stole some Planet of the Apes stuff.
We should have. We should have stolen a treehouse, and, you know, everything I saw was either not in great condition and or overpriced, or, you know, I just don't care enough anymore. I got a couple of storage bins full of toys and then a couple shelves here where they're actually on display. I don't need more shit. That's really what it came down to for me.
By the time I get them all out on the floor, I'm tired and I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
But I can't leave them out because the cat or the dog will chew on them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like
or your dad will step on it and break them.
Yeah.
Pick your shit up.
Exactly. So,
Better care of your shit.
So you said it was a much bigger... I didn't go in previous years, but you did. And it's a much bigger hall this time.
Yeah, this time the hall was probably 3 times as big. But the crowd was about the same. So you can see how packed it was in the past.
Yeah, so they really needed to expand it. And they did. I saw the one Dark Shadows game I saw. Something next to it that wasn't as popular was $120 or something.
Yeah.
So couldn't find a price tag, but you know, it was $150. You know, it was just an average condition for being a late '60s, early '70s game. So I got home and I went, you know what? I've been meaning to buy this thing. And I found it on eBay for like, the pictures were kind of crappy, but the seller had 100% positive.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they had it for like $29, buy it now.
Huh.
And then overpriced shipping, but still came in less than $50.
Yeah, $50 shipping.
Yeah. No, it was like 20 bucks.
99 cents, $100 shipping.
It was like $20, and you know the shipping's actually like 11, but I don't care.
Although it's gone up so much, shipping.
It has. But we'll play the Dark Shadows board game at some point.
Yeah.
All right.
That'll be fun. Okay, so stuff I've watched recently. The Gentleman... Guy Ritchie series on Netflix. It's a spinoff or a continuation or a takeoff of the movie of the same name from 2019. This is really good. I don't know if either of you have gotten into it yet, but
Even know it was a thing.
Oh, it's got the Guy Ritchie fingerprints all over it. Mm-hmm. And he actually does direct a bunch of it, so that's cool. Theo James is he is been named as this successor to the dukedom. What do they call that? he's the 10th Duke of Halstead. Anyway, he was a military guy. And so all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's got to take over. And his older brother's mad that he got the succession to the
duchy,
to the duchy,
to the duchy. Yes.
Yes. So
he was sitting on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Yes. That's where you pass him.
Yeah.
This has, a whole bunch of the rugged, old, rough English dudes in it from all the Guy Ritchie films. And, it's good. Like it's not a big spoiler to tell you this, but turns out that his father who died, had allowed a marijuana growing operation to be set up. And so it's beneath their dairy farm area of their great big estate. And then, of course, hilarity is going to ensue because, you know, when you deal with people who do stuff like that, everything's just smooth sailing. And his older brother's all caught up owing a coke dealer a bunch of money. So every episode, it gets more interesting and crazy stuff happens. It's so worth watching. As with any Guy Ritchie thing, I don't think I've seen much of his stuff I didn't like. Without looking at his filmography, I couldn't really say, but, you know, usually his stuff's a good time. I started to watch, because I got a Canopy membership, or whatever you want to call it, account. I gave In Search Of a little start to see how Zachary Quinto does, since he stepped in for Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy, in the Star Trek films, and now here he is like, well, I could do In Search Of, too. What else did Leonard Nimoy do?
What else wouldn't you hire me for?
Right?
He ought to do an album.
Yes.
Yeah, and a book.
Yes.
Or two.
I am also not Spock.
I'm also not Spock. I am also Spock.
Yes. Two books.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-book deal. The first episode didn't knock my socks off. It was about aliens. And, you know, maybe I'm jaded. Maybe I've seen too much alien stuff.
Too many aliens and beheadings.
Yeah.
Too many aliens and beheadings. But
yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's Leonard Nimoy's birthday today.
Was it?
Oh, well, it's a good time to mention this then. It doesn't look like it's going to be a bad show, but it lacks that. There was a mysteriousness and there was a vibe to the In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy that was kind of like, I feel a little scared watching this. The world out there is a little scary.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the first one I saw it freaked me out for a long time.
Do you remember what was the subject?
It was a farmer who was crossing the field and he disappeared and people could hear his voice and he was calling from, I don't know, the big place. I don't really know where he was.
So it was like interdimensional stuff?
Yeah.
I think that was really, that was probably just in my headset.
I was getting it correctly.
It's just in your head.
Yeah, okay. I think it's cleared up.
It's group psychosis.
Yeah. So it was about, he was interdimensionally
yeah.
drawn away and.
Or possibly he had fallen in a hole. That was there and couldn't get out. Either one of them was terrifying to me, that you could be walking
yeah.
along and either fall in a hole or end up in another dimension.
You know, Leonard Nimoy could make you suspend your disbelief about the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Although you logically know that that grainy photo was probably fake. And we found out later, yeah, it was.
Or at least, looking picture was fake?
Yeah.
No.
But they covered a lot of stuff on that show. I remember Easter Island,
mm-hmm.
Rapa Nui. Yeah, that one was interesting. Still mysterious, but I think ancient civilizations were more sophisticated than we want to give them credit. So there. I'll update you guys on how other episodes went for me.
Good.
But I think it took like 5 tickets from your Canopy stash. And then it lets you access it for like 20 days or something. So I'll have enough time to watch it.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, like usually one movie is 2 tickets. And they give you, what, 24 for the month?
I think is how
it works.
Yeah, I don't watch it often enough to care about that.
I thought maybe they had a skee ball area. You won more tickets.
You get some cheap ass plastic toys.
Yeah, there's some really shitty documentaries on there they pulled from YouTube that are AI driven.
Ugh. Like that JFK one was terrible. And I think I mentioned this before, but Body Shockers, the one where you have people with body modifications who the host.
It's not a hip hop movie.
No, this is a series from the UK. I don't know if it was on BBC or where it was. But Katie Piper is the host, and she was badly burned with acid from an ex-boyfriend. And I may have mentioned this in a previous mm-hmm. episode, but I watched more episodes of this where she visits people who are they've got some sort of terrible body modification. Yeah, well, you know, by their own doing. And they're considering, you know, like, I really need to undo this. And then she meets somebody who's like, I'm going to totally go do that same stupid thing. And then she tries to usually get them together and let them meet each other.
Yeah.
So hopefully one of them can talk the other one out of it. And usually doesn't work.
Yeah, don't tattoo your whole head black. It's not a good idea.
Or, you know,
it won't look good. You won't like it.
Yeah, the stretched earlobes. Yeah, there's you a won't lot. Like that there's a lot of earlobes getting undone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember as a we'll probably get into this when we talk about goths.
Yeah. Yes.
When I was at our college,
mm-hmm.
It was at a party, and this guy was showing off his. He was going through this process, and he had this bifurcated penis with piercings in it.
Oh goodness!
So, all right. I'm not going to be shocked by anything now.
Yeah.
Stretched earlobe. Okay. That's nothing.
Yeah, well, okay. Now I've seen that. Check that off the list.
So that's on Tubi for anyone who cares. And I think that was about it for recently watched. We watched Turbulence 3, Heavy Metal.
Yes, we
because
did.
Because of you, yep. Jolien.
Because well, the dark it's March Lord. Metal.
March Metal time. We had to watch a Heavy Metal horror movie, and we almost did.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, we almost did, but instead we watched Turbulence 3, Heavy Metal.
I think it's pronounced Turbulence. Turbulence.
Turbulence.
3.
Yeah. So,
I've seen this twice now.
Jolien, do you want to do the recap on the plot, or a quick rundown?
Goths on a plane.
Goths on a plane.
Are they goth?
So this guy who's named Slade Craven...
Such a good name.
Jeez.
He's super popular with shiny goths.
Yes.
And he's going to do a concert on a plane. And a bunch of his fans are going on the plane with him.
40 of his fans.
And sounds like a great way to do a concert.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, it's going to go out over the internet, interwebs.
The interwebs live.
And racks up millions of views because the internet was this super powerful thing that you can watch live from a plane.
Yeah.
In 2001.
Yeah.
In 2001.
It was better in those days.
Yeah.
There's fewer people on it. And something else happens. I forget what.
Well,
terrorists take over the plane.
Yeah.
They replace Slade with a lookalike. And their plan is to crash the plane into a church in Kansas because of some sort of supernatural mumbo jumbo.
That is probably in your territory, the Stoll Cemetery.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that, didn't we? Yeah, the gate to hell is in Kansas.
Yes.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, so...
Didn't you know?
Yeah.
It's on the maps.
Oh, wow.
There's like a little, they have little symbols for like, you know.
Yeah, Hellmouth. It's these jagged fangs.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a Hellmouth in Oklahoma too.
Look at your ordnance maps.
Yeah.
The Stoll Cemetery. Some students made up a story and it just hung around way too long.
Oh, that's great.
I'm not, you know, trying to undermine the credulity of
Rutger Hauer's character in this.
But rumors about the cemetery were popularized in a November 1974 issue of the University Daily Kansan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The devil appeared in this town of Stoll twice a year, once on Halloween and once on the spring equinox, which is where we are.
All right.
And the cemetery was one of the seven gates to hell, people said, because they just watched some Lucio Fulci movies.
Yeah.
And the nearby Evangelical Emmanuel Church was possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
Sounds plausible.
Mm-hmm.
And this legend was that this occurred because the mayor of Stoll was killed back in the 1850s.
Okay.
Problem with that was Stalin never had a mayor.
Oh, okay.
But, you know.
Details.
Satan can manipulate records, I'm sure. He's a professional.
Yeah. He's got some practice.
It is also said that during a trip to Colorado in the 1990s, the Pope redirected the flight path of his private plane to avoid flying over the unholy ground.
Hmm.
That is, there's no actual record of that being true.
No.
But when the Pope did come to Denver, mm-hmm. the church in Colfax got hit by lightning.
Yeah.
That's right.
Whether or not the weather vane fell off and killed a priest, I don't know. But
it probably did.
Probably.
Yeah, that's the big cathedral.
That's how those things go.
I used to live near that.
Yeah, me too.
I think we all did at some point. Rutger Hauer's character.
Mm-hmm.
He's undercover Satanist, yeah?
Yes, undercover Satanist on CBS.
He's Pilot Macintosh.
Pilot Macintosh. I really felt like the abrupt ending of his character, and this is later in the film, but was Rutger Hauer saying, all right, you guys, time's up. Oh, mm-hmm. wrap it up. What are you going to have my character do? I'm done.
Yeah.
They had him for a day.
Yep.
You know, and
the clock was running out.
He was not going to get out of the pilot seat, the co-pilot seat that was in his contract.
Yep.
And you only had him for a day.
Yeah. John Carradine of the 2000s.
This felt like a made-for-TV movie if it had been, you know, 30 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Rutger Hauer, super talented guy,
mm-hmm.
punching way below his weight class in this one. Jeez. What?
Okay. Paycheck's a paycheck.
You know, here's the thing. Okay, I have the page pulled up for this. If I click on the movie poster, it doesn't get any bigger because they don't even have a bigger image of it. Across the top of the Turbulence 3 poster, there's a bunch of lightning and an airplane flying upward. The billing goes, Joe Mantegna, Craig Sheffer, Gabriel Anwar, and Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
Now,
we know Gabriel Anwar because she starred with friend of the show.
Jerkface on Burn Notice.
That's right.
And I believe there was some issue about putting oil wells in her area. I don't know. Anwar, something about that.
Yeah.
I don't follow the news.
Yeah, so Brian Dobson, who plays Craven, whatever, Slade Craven.
Slade Craven.
Yes, John Mann.
Yeah, not listed anywhere on the poster.
Well, it was his only movie, like we were talking about earlier, you know, he did this one movie, perfection.
And just got out.
Like,
on top.
Yeah.
Don't want to go on a downward slide.
No.
Yeah.
It's only downhill from here. It's like if you won an Oscar for your first role.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, all downhill. And the music was also perfection.
It's from the director of Omen 4.
Oh boy.
if you were not paying close attention, you'd be like, okay, so the main character killed the pilot. So why do we care what happens to him? And then, like you guys pointed out, he's a lookalike, which later on in the movie I'm like, okay. Oh. Got it.
I like that they locked the actual Slade Craven in a room with baker's shelves and a computer, and it was an airplane.
Yeah.
It seemed like it would be on an airplane.
You pointed this out to me, that the airplane seemed to have a basement.
Yeah. Didn't it feel like it?
And it was just a basement?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
I like the scene where he locks him in and then he just puts this wheelie cart against the door to trap him.
That's right. Just push it on its side, shove it over. There's no way he's getting out of there.
Problem solved.
We saw a lot of disaster movies in the 70s where mm-hmm. crazy stuff was happening on airplanes, made for TV movies.
Yeah.
Cinematic releases.
One of the first TV movies was Doomsday Flight, written by Rod Serling.
Yeah. That wasn't the one with the, where they had to make the doll with the lock of hair on it to satisfy the evil demonic force that was.
No. That's in the '70s. That's Horror at 37,000 Feet.
That's the one. That's a perfect movie.
I'm confused. Horror at 40,000 Feet is the Twilight Zone one, right?
Yeah.
And Horror at 37,000 Feet is the one where they're transporting a bit of Stonehenge.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the '70s one. That's great. Yeah.
And, you know, I love the, I think we've gotten three different versions, maybe four different versions of the Twilight Zone episode. Mm-hmm. I love every one of them. It's great. William Shatner freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
What was that other guy?
John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Yes.
They did the same, in the same iteration of Twilight Zone, they did that story two different times, I believe. Mm-hmm. Robert Selmy, I think, might have been a different story. I feel like it was the same story, though. I'll look it up while we're talking. But with Snakes on a Plane, we started to bring it back around. But by this time, you don't have the same star-studded cast you could bring in. You have to start bringing in new actors, you know, because we don't have all those great actors from the 70s. I mean, I want Shelley Winters and Burgess Meredith and
George Kennedy.
George Kennedy, yeah. And Ernest Borgnine. I want guys like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have those faces anymore. But
no.
Yeah, and also it's post Airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, that does kind of take some of the punch out of it. Let's see.
Now like Boeing planes are like falling bit by bit out of the sky.
Yeah, and they're killing people or whistleblowers. It's a whole.
Are they?
Yeah, international intrigue and whatnot.
Why they bother killing whistleblowers? There's people sitting there with cameras watching doors fly out.
Yeah, I don't know. Some guy who reported that Boeing was skirting safety issues and whatnot. Ended up dying by suicide mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
So
the worst passenger plane crash ever was because of Boeing engineers, and that was the Japanese one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't seem like a great company. Imagine that.
Oh, you know what? I was confused. He was in an episode where he's on an airplane, but it's not another take on the one Shatner did. So
there's a brownie on the wing.
Yeah, this one was this episode was called
"There's a Yowie on the Wing."
Of late, I think of Cliffordville, episode 116. So, anyway, I take it back. He had nothing to do with it. So
and nothing to do with Turbulence 3.
Yeah, lucky for him, he was dead by then. Didn't have to worry about it. So, what do you even do with this when you start watching it? Do you take a different posture, a different stance with it? Do you just go, "All right, I'm not gonna lower my expectations too low, because that's not who I am. But I'm also not gonna expect this movie to perform
at all." I imagine this thing's stillborn and I'm going to watch it.
Julian, what did you think when you started it?
I think that some of the cast were, you could feel them, they knew what they were in. And
yes.
You know, you just enjoy it.
You were waiting for them to glance at the camera with that look.
Yeah, like Gabriel Anwar and Rutger Hauer,
they both seemed like.
Yeah, they don't wink, but they're like.
I found the same with Joe Montagna was kind of that way in some of the earlier scenes. He seemed like he was, you know,
paying for his.
We're in this again. Oh yeah.
He was paying for a new pool house.
Trouble. Yeah.
Swimming pool or pool house for the existing pool.
I don't think they had that budget.
Okay, gazebo. Maybe he got.
He was paying for some pool cleaning chemicals. not the whole, covering the whole bill, but a large chunk of it.
Just the net to get the
just the net, and it wasn't the pole either. It was just the net part. He was going to have to reinstall that himself.
I think that is the budget. It does not say anything about a budget anywhere here on the trustworthy Wikipedia page. But holy crap, is there a lot of people in this cast.
That's why it felt like a made-for-TV movie.
Well, Erica, the presenter, is played by Minika Schnarr, who was in Waxwork 2.
Oh, okay.
And Craig Sheffer was in Nightbreed. He played Spectre, the hacker.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Here, let me move the mic here. This is something Brian and I like to joke about. I'm in.
Yeah, I love the hackers in the TV shows. They just like play with the keyboard for a few seconds and they bring up a 3D model of...
Yeah.
Yeah, of whatever you got.
Of the secret base or whatever.
Oh, yeah. If you want some laughs, watch The Net.
Mm.
Holy crap, is that terrible.
And so this has also got Michelle Harrison, who is in The Flash.
Oh.
She plays Jen, who's a fan who becomes the wannabe journalist.
Okay, yes. She
plays Nora Allen on The Flash.
All right. Barry Allen's wife, I guess. Her sister. Mother. Aunt. No relation, mother. Actually. Sister. Just have the same
sister,
name.
Mother.
Sister, mother.
So the character called Stop Now was played by Brad Lurie, who's a Canadian actor and stuntman. He is known for having played Michael Myers in Halloween Resurrection.
Ooh.
From 2002. So, you know, when they were going down the, when they were going through their actual Rolodex. This is a Canadian production, isn't it?
Probably.
Let me look here real quick. So, Will, you can blame the Canadians again, as you are wont to do.
Yeah.
They don't have much on it here. This is funny. Like, they've got a big, long description of the plot, but under reception, they got nothing. Under references, they got nothing. External links, they got one for the IMDb page. That's it. They don't have, like, you know, like the production notes, like telling you all about it.
Some nerd's going to be crying about that in the future.
You're probably
right.
And
didn't they have more information on this?
Well, I'll pull up the IMDb page and see if it says anything like goofs.
This was a movie.
This movie exists.
All it says.
Yeah. Like the goofs for...
There's another movie based around the Stoll Cemetery story called Nothing Left to Fear from 2013.
Hmm.
And an unreleased film called St. John Smythe.
Hmm.
And it's also in Supernatural, the TV series.
Yes. I remember that.
Oh,
it was like a season 5 finale.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
That was supposed to be like the end of it. And then they went 10 more seasons. I liked that. Season 5, I thought, well, this is actually pretty good. They're
mm-hmm.
killing everybody off. Things have consequences. And then it's season 6. And they did all right. But then they just kept going and going.
I've seen bits of it, you know, as I've gone through the room. And,
yeah.
And Emily often has it on as a background thing. But the one episode I watched was when they did a Scooby-Doo episode and they went into animation.
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad show for a, you know, supernatural TV show.
I'll read part of a user review from IMDb if you'd like to hear it.
I would.
Dumb, but if you accept it for what it is, a paycheck job for a bunch of actors, you may like it. A dumb direct-to-video movie about a shock rock concert on a plane taken over by Satanists who want to bring about the end of the world and open the gate to hell. It goes on to sort of insult the movie a little further. But
no.
Yeah.
Stop. No.
But you know what you're getting going in.
Oh, yeah.
And it moves right along.
It does move right along.
I was entertained.
I watched Turbulence 2 as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I finished it. I think I fell asleep. I don't remember, though. But it seemed all right, too. It was a group of people afraid to fly being taken on a plane to overcome their phobia. But I don't know what happened after that. So I'm guessing I passed out.
But this movie gave me a dream as well.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, I dreamt that Emily said to me, please be the first American goth not to do that. I don't know what that was.
A concert on a plane?
For 40 fans?
Yeah.
And somehow that makes money because of the internet views? I don't know what, I didn't understand that part.
Yeah.
So have you experience of being around goths?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew some goths. The crowd below me in school there were a bunch of goths. They were store brand at best, I guess. It was.
They were out in New Mexico. That must have been hard.
Yeah, you don't want to be in New Mexico all in black.
Oh, I vinyl. I did see some goths when I lived in Hawaii, and they did not let the weather, you know, the heat and humidity, stop them from dressing in full garb. So it was weird. When I was in college, I was friends with some goths, and they were full on. They were homemade, not store bought.
They were invading Rome. You know,
when I was at art college in Exeter, it was like second only to Leeds.
Yeah,
as a goth capital, and yeah, lots of cool first generation goths.
All right,
and we used to go to the goth club a lot, and you know, they had all the dry ice going, and the people doing that eldritch dance with the extend their arms and then waft themselves back into the mist.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Cobwebs everywhere.
Yeah, I went out for goth night a few times with my friends. It was fun. And of course, the places that would host that would only have, you know, the least busy night of the week.
Yeah.
Tuesday is goth night.
Thursday night was goth night. Tuesday was heavy metal night.
Yeah, I think this place was Thursday or Sunday or something, but
Thursday was gay night.
Gay night.
The club I worked at a liquor store next to a club.
Oh.
And so every Thursday I got people, how can you have those people?
Those people.
You're like, because their money's green.
Yeah.
Well, it was great. You know,
yeah.
They're a peaceful bunch.
Yeah.
Our friends were Mike and Becky. And
Becky is a real goth name.
Yeah. They were royalty of the goth scene there.
Nice.
Because like he was like this really tall guy. He had this big shock of black hair. And he had all like the they made their own stuff. You know, all the jewelry and stuff.
Yeah.
And
they weren't going to Hot Topic.
No. It's before that.
Yeah.
And she was beautiful as well. She could do all the. She wasn't ripping off Susie Sue, but she had that kind of attitude. And yeah, they were definite goth royalty.
Nice.
But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, in the college town where I went, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, there were a small handful of goths, and I hung out with I think most of them.
Yeah, that's how Deming was.
Yeah. So
I went back for the summer between my freshman and sophomore year in college, and all my friends had moved away, so I hung out with the kids who I kind of knew that were in the lower classes, and they were all goths. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of good music there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some music that's not as good as others, but...
I like the bands that denied that they were goth.
Yeah.
Better than the actual goth bands.
Yeah.
Like Susie and the sisters and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them. Susie and the Banshees is still one of my favorite bands, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, Fields of the Nephilim, I was like... They did this album called Elysium, and that's really good.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, there's no shortage of cool music that kind of fits the scene, fits the vibe.
Yeah, they're into all these like other bands that were kind of close to it.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Cocteau Twins and...
Yeah.
The Cure, of course.
Yeah.
People plug that right in, although they're closer to pop a lot of the time.
And All About Eve. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were mostly into like industrial music when I was hanging out with the goths.
Yeah.
So I got into that, you know. Some good bands.
Yeah, we go to the goth club and we take along our vinyls of industrial stuff and get them to play.
Get them to play it.
Steve Albini and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. It's funny how many of those bands are still around, dragging on.
Let me suggest that you make yourself available as a consultant to people making movies like this one. because, first of all, it really wasn't heavy metal.
No.
It certainly wasn't goth.
And it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was kind of like what we were talking about, like the Archie comics. You know, they have the artist and the script writer come up with like something a hippie would do, or, you know.
Yes, those were the best, were the hippie comics, because they were guys in their 50s who did not get hippies at all.
They were just trying to second guess what a hippie would do or say. A very generic.
Are we against him? Are we for him? The kids seem to like him, but should we?
If we make them really super innocuous and bland, then maybe they're okay.
Yeah.
They wear like a suede fringe vest and a peace sign and a headband.
Headband.
Bell bottoms.
Bell bottom, yeah. Probably barefoot.
Barefoot or sandals. Sandals are okay.
Yeah.
I think there's your generic hippie.
Yeah, another one of those TV shows that Emily like sticks on while she's like cooking and comes out to watch every now and then is Bones.
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah.
And like every time I pass through the room, it seems to be the episode where they go to a Comic-Con or something like that. And it just exists to get her into a Wonder Woman costume.
Yes.
And like
I've seen that episode.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, their idea of what comics fans are like.
Yes. I've watched several shows that have, you know, comic conventions. Yeah, the comic. They're always great.
There was one, and I don't know what show it was, where they went to a furry con.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was Law and Order, I believe. Probably SVU.
Because one of them poisoned another one by putting poison on their fur, knowing that they would groom them. If I remember correctly, that's what
Something
happened.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but don't underestimate the kinkiness of a bunch of nerds.
No.
Because I was warned when I went down for Dragon Con in Atlanta to, you know, work as a vendor. There's some scenes going on here. Mm-hmm. So
God bless them all for their weirdness.
Yep. I agree.
You know,
I will say I had a good time in Atlanta and I could see other people were having an even better time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They have an over 60. Judd told us about this at the store. Maybe it was over retirement age strip joint. Yeah, it was like old lady strip joint in Atlanta.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, near the art supply stores, one of these.
There was a swingers club across the street. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just across Broadway.
And I sold glow in the dark paints to a guy who said, or no, they were blacklight paints. Who all but said that he was using them in a sex party.
Huh.
He's like, we like to paint on each other in the black light. And I was like yeah, I say no more. We all know that trip.
Yeah. And did you know that stuff's poisonous when you put it on your skin? Well, have fun.
Yeah. Don't drink that shit.
Yeah.
Wash it off quick.
Yeah. Don't get it in any orifices.
No.
Please. Speaking of orifices, what orifice did this movie come out of? Well, I looked and it was a joint effort between the U.S., Canada, and the U.K.
God damn it.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Spread the blame around.
Who is this rock star that they're portraying him to? Who are they trying to make him look like and feel like?
I wonder.
Mm.
Wouldn't be Marilyn Manson, would it?
No, I don't think so. That's too on the nose.
Well, it's,
it was probably Shock D or maybe MC Hammer.
Yeah, totally MC Hammer. I could see that. No, it was
Paul Simon when he was in his goth phase, his tall goth phase.
Yes. Who's the guy who his stick was to cut himself?
Gigi Allen.
Gigi Allen.
Oh, God.
Yes.
The worst. And you'd think, well, if the music was awesome, that would be something.
Well, no. When someone has a shtick like that, you know that they're compensating for.
Oh, yeah. You're like, no, this is all.
This is going to be terrible.
Yeah. We're going for the live show, not for the music.
Right.
Will he gargle glass? Perhaps. We will find out.
Yeah, so fake Slade Craven kills a pilot. The other pilot kills himself because he wants out of this movie so badly. And then a hacker.
It'd be funny if his watch went off the alarm and Rutger Hauer just got up and walked off the set.
He takes the costume off as he's walking.
Yeah.
Gets down to just like a Speedo. It's like, that stuff you use to de-ice wings, could you wash me off with that? I feel gross. But we go through this bullshit landing a plane with a help from somebody else thing that they do.
Kid with a Nintendo, or who played Nintendo as a kid.
Yeah.
He's in part two as well.
Was it Airport 75 where they do that? It's Charlton Heston.
Talks him down.
Karen Black.
Yeah.
She has to land the plane.
Yeah, it's...
Yes, and then that became a big trope for...
So in this one, he's like, he played a simulation game. So he knows how to land a plane. So while he's playing this game, he's telling this agent.
Yeah.
Who's relaying the instructions to this golf on the plane who's...
Yes.
At the controls.
Yeah.
It works out fine.
And it works out fine. There's no miscommunication or delay or anything. Just... And someone can talk you down to land a giant 747. I understand they're real easy to land.
Mm-hmm.
Like falling off a log.
Yeah. What's up with this dude's face? Does he have like appliances? Or does his face just have that weird bulky...
I think that's just his face with a lot of gray makeup on.
Yeah, weird, right? It's like he should be doing more of this. He should have been on Buffy the Vampire Slayer as a demon.
Mm.
Or even a vampire, I suppose. But yeah, like you said, one and done. We don't see him in anything else. The preview makes it look like it might actually be interesting, the trailer for it. But it's kind of not.
Yeah, no. It's kind of not all over.
I didn't mind it. I liked it better than Snakes on a Plane.
True. I did like it better than Snakes on a Plane because it...
That one's really
weird. At least moved along, and it was ridiculous from start to finish.
Right. You know? And, you know, Snakes on a Plane, it's just like, well, you've got that one joke. And
that's it for 90 minutes. I hope you like that joke you've already played out. That's all we got.
This one just kind of just messes around, does goofy things, and kills off Rutger Hauer, and then...
Safe home.
Safe landing. Some people get arrested and they live happily ever after.
Someone gets to become a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a hacker gets to become a prisoner.
Yeah, he goes off for some kinky games.
But yes, he went off with Gabrielle Anwar to do whatever. But she let her hair down, so you know it was kinky. Yeah,
she makes him get into handcuffs and then she lets her hair down and says, I thought you were hungry.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then they went to Taco Bell.
That's right.
He was so disappointed.
Yeah, it seems about right. So, should we do the recommends?
Yeah, I recommend this.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
To whom?
Throw yourself into it. Fans of the Turbulence series. Rutger Hauer completist.
Yeah.
Fans of Slade Craven. Or his twin, Craven Slade.
If you enjoy watching movie goths as much as we like watching 80s punks.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Movie punks. Oh,
movie
yeah.
goths. You got movie goths, which are always fun.
There's a bunch of movie punks mixed in with them, too.
Yeah. And I don't know, just fans of cinema in general, I suppose.
Okay, fair enough. Jolien?
Sure, same.
Sure, yeah. Why not?
Yeah,
it's not going to hurt you if you got some of this in your eyes.
I can't recommend this unless I'm recommending it to somebody who likes this kind of thing and just says, you know what, those crappy movies, I love those things.
I think just the title Turbulence 3, I think you go, yeah, that's one of those movies.
Yeah.
Having never heard of Turbulence 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Or if you'd seen Omen 4 and wanted to check out the rest of the oeuvre of the director.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so weird, right? cool. So we got.
Did he go on to anything else, I wonder? Just these two films.
Let's see. Directed by Jorge Montesi. Is that who we're looking up?
I guess.
Okay, let's before we call it a show, let's have a look at what has this guy done? Because it was not.
Oh, he's done 8 years in San Quentin.
Yeah. Let's see. Wow. We'll go with IMDb. Hopefully that'll have. He was born in Puente Alto, Cordillera, Metropolitan Region, Chile.
Of Missouri.
He's Chilean. So there we go. Wow, it does not really want to give you much on him.
He disappeared shortly after this film was made.
He's known for...
He was following the gates of hell.
Yes. Like
hiking trail and vanished.
For a scouting, you know, event for the sequel. And he just disappeared.
He's a director and actor known for Sentimental Reasons, 1984, Soft Deceit, 1994, and Birds of Prey, 1986.
So by known for, you mean...
Yeah.
He did these things you've not heard of.
So he's not known whatsoever for...
Not known for.
Yeah, don't know this dude at all. Written by Wade Fearley, F-E-R-E-L-Y. So let's see what this guy's got going on. I bet not much.
He's available for babysitting gigs and
carjacking.
Rides to the airport.
Did you mean Wade Farley? No, I didn't. That guy might actually have some talent. This guy is known... Really? Oh, he worked on the camera and electrical department in Best in Show. Yeah. He worked on the camera and electrical department second unit in Man with a Gun. Turbulence 3 Heavy Metal. And Off Key. He was a cinematographer.
Moving up.
Yeah, let's see. Blonde and Blonder, Call of the Wild, Best in Show, Man with a Gun. These are all ones where he was on the camera and electrical department. Cinematographer, The Magic Backpack, Call of the Wild, and Off Key. Mm. And he was also a writer on Turbulence 3 Heavy Metal. So,
if you can call it that.
Yeah. So, did some writing. I don't know, man. I think this movie tried to be as good as it could be.
Yeah.
And this is how good it got.
This is as good as you could get it with what you had.
Probably.
Yeah.
$200 for a budget.
Yeah.
Which is what sets it apart from shit like Sharknado. It's like, hey, look, we made a bad movie. Wink, wink. No, thank you. Don't do that.
Not a genuine auteur like James Wan and exactly. Birdemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one tries to be entertaining.
Yeah.
It tries to be good.
It tries to be a movie, and it succeeds. I don't think
it has pretensions to being good, but it tries to make an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I think it accomplishes that. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
If I was able to rake up a small pile of money and get Rutger Hauer in my movie, I feel like I would have done more with him, but at least they got that.
Yeah.
They released his daughter once he filmed his scenes, just like they promised.
Right. So, oh well, it's got the woman from Burn Notice and Joe Mantegna.
Yeah, Fat Tony.
Fat Tony from The Simpsons.
And Jerkface's girlfriend from Burn Notice, Mrs. Jerkface.
I like how she says...
Sister Jerkface.
The way she says, Miami.
Miami. Well, at least she wasn't doing a terrible Irish accent like she did on Burn Notice.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Which wandered in and out of scenes.
Yeah. It had Bruce Campbell in it. It had Jerkface in it. She was in it.
It was a good show. Yeah. I will defend Burn Notice as a crap weekly TV show.
I watched every damn episode of it.
I watched them all two or three times now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there that's just like, you know, weekly TV shows. That one had self-awareness.
Yeah, it was trying. It did, You know, it should have ended earlier than it did, but that's how things go in this country.
And they let Bruce Campbell kind of do his thing.
Yeah, you know, and that's never a bad thing.
They didn't try and control him too
Unless
much.
Unless it's that man with two brains thing he did.
Yeah, that
was
terrible.
That's now stuffed in the walls of his house.
Yeah. Terrible movie. All right, well, let's call it a show, and we'll come back next week and do another one.
All right.
Listeners, thank you for listening.
Stay off the airplane or something.